All the way back in the year 2001, Steve Ray began a video series that is now completed with his 10th installment. We know them as the Footprints of God series, and Steve is ready to join us today to invite you to get an inside look in this final video of the making of this incredible series. Good morning, Steve. Thanks for being with us again on The Morning Blend.
Well, good morning to you, Brenda, and thank you for having me on. This has been a whirlwind adventure, and I'll tell you how it got started. I think people always love the story how it got started as we get into the program, but I'm happy to be here with you. You do a great job, and I'm happy to talk about this series because it's had an impact on a lot of people.
It certainly has, myself included. I worked at a little Catholic bookstore in Vancouver, Washington, and this series was regularly sold out. As soon as a new one had come out, we got a bunch of them and people came in. They were incredible series. Now, we know that our salvation history begins with Abraham, but that is not the first in this series that came out. In 2001, you began with Peter because there was a situation in the world that, well, kept you from starting right at the beginning. Kind of let's talk about the beginning ideas and why Peter was the one you chose to highlight first.
Well, let me tell you first how the whole idea got started, but that was in the year 2000, the year of grace. And I woke up in the middle of the night, Brenda. I had never thought about this before. We had never dreamed of doing anything like this before. At 2 o'clock in the morning, I sat up in my bed and it was like, I don't know whether it was a dream, a vision, an angel, or just indigestion, I say. I don't know what it was. Woke me up in the middle of the dark night. I grabbed my wife and I shook her and I said, Janet, quick, we have to make a 10-part video series on the history of salvation from a Catholic perspective. And I'm shaking her awake, telling her we got to make a movie series. And she looks at me and she said, what she thought the house was on fire or I was having a heart attack or something. And she said, you're crazy. You make movies? She said, we can't even take good pictures. How does God expect us to make movies? Go back to sleep, she said. Well, she did roll over and go back to sleep. But I got up that night and I typed out the whole outline for a 10-part series. It had to be called The Footprints of God because it was all about God coming down and getting his feet dirty on this earth to be among us and to save us. It had to be a travel log that takes people to these places and so they could see they're real. It has to be apologetic so that people, because I'm a convert, I wanted to defend the faith and use this. Had to be the whole story of salvation, and it had to go beyond the book of Revelation into the early church to show the Holy Spirit was still working. Well, I typed it all out. It was all in my head. It was like infused into my brain. I have to conclude now that God gave this idea to me because 25 years later, they're still selling well, and so many people, I got an email today from a lady who says, we're using your Moses as a Bible study. I have 25 people we're studying through your DVD on Moses. Well, anyway, just to finish that story of how it got started, I called Ignatius Press because I already had 3 books with them, the last one being Upon This Rock about Peter. And that's going to answer your question about why that one first. But I called them. They said, can you come out and present your idea to us? So a week later, Janet and I flew out to San Francisco from Michigan. I laid out the whole thing. I had typed it all out that night that I woke up, and I prayed it out in front of Father Fessio and the board of directors. They asked me about my idea after lunch. I said, and Father Fessio, when I explained it, he said, has it ever been done before? I said, no one's ever done it. Catholic, Protestant, secular, nothing of this scope. Because I want aerial footage. We're going to do it with helicopters. It's never been done before. And he says, well, how much will it cost? I said, I have no idea. But a friend of mine who does video, which I don't do, I've never done video before or anything like it. But my friend said it'll be over $2 million. And that was in the year 2000.
Mm.
He said, my third question, how soon can you begin? I said, I can begin right now. I own my own business. I can start. He says, here's $50,000. I want you to go get started. 2 weeks later, we were flying in helicopters all over Israel, Egypt, Turkey, Greece, Italy, getting all the aerial footage that I knew I needed for this whole series. 6 weeks later, we were there filming Peter. Why did I do Peter first? Because I had just finished writing the book Upon This Rock about Peter and about the papacy and the primacy. And it was just bubbling up in me. And we'd been going to the Holy Land by this time for 5 years. So I'd gotten familiar with all of these sites. We've been there over 200 times now. But back then, we'd only been there maybe 5 or 6 times. And so I started that video series with my wife. I have to say, she has been by my side writing the scripts, doing all the travel arrangements, doing the traveling and the footage. She's the director. And so that's how it got started. It really was miraculous now that I look back on it. It was the craziest thing that we could have ever dreamed of doing. It was the craziest thing in the world for Father Fessio to agree to it, knowing I have no video experience, nothing. But the Lord blessed this project. Mm-hmm. And 25 years later, we just did the behind the scenes, which we're going to talk about and share how it all got started and some of the wonderful adventures we had along the way.
I love this, Steve. In fact, it sounds to me like you and St. Joseph have a lot in common, that, well, God speaks to you in your dreams and you've just got to be a man of action. Steve Ray is joining us today. He has the 10th episode of the Footprints of God series. I could imagine that trying to plan this series was an exercise in scheduling. What were some of the things that maybe you could never imagine having to plan for? Probably happened, because I would imagine, well, there was a whole realm of Satan and devils that did not want you to get this done. What were some of the kind of big obstacles that you had to overcome in order to get some of these series done?
Well, my first one is to find a filming video company that would work with me on this project. And I didn't know what it would cost. I didn't know how to do this. I didn't know anything about video. I didn't even know what a script was. And I had to find a company that did know and that was willing to get a concept of my vision and to train me, in a sense, while they're doing what I want them to do. They train me, because I'm delivering all the lines, I'm doing all the adventures, and they have to teach me about video. So I did. I found a great company, Skyline Productions, Joe Reynolds, and he was a very good guy with his team, and they traveled with us thousands and thousands of miles. And that was the one hurdle. We found that good company, and that made it happen. You know, the other hurdle was, we're working in countries, very diverse countries. In this series, we filmed in 16 different countries, and that includes Iraq and Syria and Jordan and Egypt. And a lot of these places are not easy to film in. But when we were going to go film the story of Paul, that was going to be filmed in 6 countries, and we had to go to Syria, to Damascus, where he had the Road to Damascus experience. Well, that's a very problematic country to go to. We went to the embassy in Washington, my wife and I, trying to get permits to film in Syria 6 months in advance. Nothing succeeded. Turkey and Syria are both very problematic countries with things like that. It came right down to the day that we're going to leave, and we still did not have permits for Turkey and Syria. And so Janet and I prayed, and we said, well, the plane is coming. We're going today. My crew's already in the air from Arizona. They're already on the air over there. The day that we were ready to leave, we were packing up our suitcases, waiting for the taxi, and my fax machine rang. That was back in the days when we used fax machines. And out of that thing spit all of my permit papers to film in Turkey. We, to this day, don't know why or how that happened, but they all came over. So when we end up filming in Turkey, we had all the paperwork, but we still didn't have Syria. And we did Turkey, we did Israel, now we're in Rome, and we're filming the Rome part of Paul's story. The next flight is to Damascus, and we still don't have our paperwork. So I went to the embassy, the Syrian embassy in Rome, and I said, I need to speak to the person in charge. She came out. She said, can I help you? I said, yes, my name's Steve Reich. I'm doing a movie on St. Paul, and I need to get permits from you. We're going to fly out there day after tomorrow, and I need the permits from you to film this. She laughed, and she said, oh, she said, it's impossible. Not even diplomats or politicians can get permits like that. It takes a half a year or more of political, negotiating. Mm-hmm. And so she said, so it's impossible. I said, but I need to go. This is where St. Paul had his conversion. It's the most important point of the whole movie. She said, did you hear me? It's impossible. And then the Lord said to me, be bold. She said, do you think there will be a miracle? She was making fun of me. And I said, yes. I know I am not St. Paul, but I worship the same God that St. Paul worships. This is very bold, by the way. And I said, I will be back here at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, and I expect you to have my papers ready for me. She threw us out of the office. I'm now at the tomb of St. Paul, St. Paul outside the walls in Rome, and we're filming that segment. And my cell phone rings, and I hear at the other end, hello, my name is Mr. Ali Munir. I am the Minister of Information in Damascus, and I hear you want to film in my country. I said, yes, sir, I do. He says, well, I'm personally inviting you to come. He said, I'm going to have everybody meet you at the airport, and they'll do it at whatever you need. Just let them know. They'll take care of everything. And he said, I would like to have my picture taken with you when you're finished. And he said, and I'll have my paperwork ready for you tomorrow. You just need to pick it up in the Syrian embassy in Rome.
Wow.
Well, I went to the Syrian embassy in Rome the next morning at 10 o'clock, and I said, can I speak to Mrs. So-and-so? I don't remember her name. She came out, and I said, I told you yesterday I'd be here at 10 o'clock to pick up my papers, and here I am. And she says, well, I'm sorry. They're not going to be ready for you till the day after tomorrow. I said, that's impossible because we fly out of here tomorrow morning. I need the paperwork now. And she said, I don't have it. It won't be ready for you till tomorrow. I said, okay, I'm going to call Mr. Ali Munir. And I pulled up my phone. She goes, no. And she pulled a packet out from under the counter, handed me all the paperwork. Mm-hmm. And the next day I was coming down the wall of Damascus in a basket, just like Paul did. That's a true story.
Wow. And of course, God assures us all things are possible through him who strengthens us. You
yep.
found strength to get it done. And now we have this beautiful Footprints of God series. Steve, I want to dive into this episode 10, but I'm already up against my break. Can you stay with me through the break? And we're going to continue in the next half hour.
I will certainly do so.
Well, we are glad, listeners, that you joined us again, because the wonderful Steve Ray is with us today. He is the writer, the producer, the filmer, the host of the Footprints of God series. Episode 10 is now available, and he's joining us today to invite you on this journey with him through the footsteps of God. Steve, thanks for staying with us today.
Certainly, Brenda. Thanks for having me.
So this whole series, it's all available. You have a kind of an order that you can watch them through. Now, begin with Abraham, even though it wasn't the first one that was filmed, and Moses and David, Elijah. There's Jesus, Paul, and the Apostolic Fathers. And there is one woman, Our Lady, that has a whole series, the Blessed Virgin Mary. Just remind us a little bit about this very beautiful story and ways that you were able to walk in the footsteps of God through the eyes of Mary.
Well, we did four on the Old Testament. So we covered everything from creation all the way through the prophets. Then we started with Mary, because Mary is not in the Old or the New Testament. Mary is intertestamental. She's in the middle. She's kind of the bridge between the Old and the New Testament. And so we wanted to tell her story. But then we also did the New Testament. And then the final, the last of this series is on Apostolic Fathers. But with Mary, because, as a convert to the Catholic Church, I wasn't always real fond of the Catholic teaching on Mary. We used to make fun of Catholics for worshiping Mary and praying to dead saints. I've learned so much since then, of course. So I wanted to present Mary in a way a lot of people don't view her, as a real girl. What it was like for her to live in Nazareth, to go every morning with a jug on her head to collect water, 15 minutes to walk away to the well, and to carry that water back every day. And what it was like to watch her son suffer and die on the cross. So we went to all the places related to Mary's life. We were in Jerusalem where she was born, Nazareth where she grew up and lived with the Holy Family, to the Visitation where she went to visit Elizabeth. We went to Calvary. We went all the places she went, even to Ephesus, because John took her to Ephesus when he became the bishop there. So we talked about her life in Ephesus there, and also in the fourth century, where the fourth ecumenical council declared that Mary was the Theotokos, the mother of God. We went to that ruins of that church and talked about for being the mother of God. And then we ended up out on the island of Patmos in the Greek islands, out in the Mediterranean Sea. That's where the movie ends, because that's where John was in exile. And he looked up and he said, "Behold, I saw the woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head." And of course, that's the Queen Mother Mary. That's the first apparition, by the way. We have Fatima, Lourdes, all these other. That's the first apparition of Mary right there in the book of Revelation. So we wanted to portray her as a real girl so that people can understand, you know, 15 years old when she has the angel come and make this announcement to her. And what would that be like, a 15-year-old girl, to hear this announcement and then to go to the temple and have this pudgy little, cute little 50, baby and, you know, 40 days old, and he's squirming and cooing and wiggling in your arms, and you walk in so proud to present him to God, and this old prophet walks up and he says, "This child will be a sign of contradiction for many, and a sword will pierce your soul also." Mm-hmm. Oh, mm-hmm. What is that like for a 15-year-old girl with her new little baby? She doesn't know what that means. Mary's not God. She doesn't know everything. And she had to live by faith like the rest of us. But that was, I wanted to portray Mary's life, and I wanted to defend all of the Catholic dogmas on Mary, the Annunciation, her Immaculate Conception, all of these things, the Queen Mother, her Assumption into Heaven. I wanted to portray all of these things so that they make sense, so that people go, "Oh, of course, of course." And I wanted it all done on location so as people can see. The whole reason for the series was, I don't want people to think the Bible begins with "once upon a time in a land far away," like a fairy tale. No, these places really exist.
Yes.
The story of salvation is real. It's rooted in geography. It's rooted in history. And I wanted people to know that.
Steve, when you were filming this, like this episode with Mary, when you were in Bethlehem at the place where Christ was born, or with any of these people, you must have a real sense of awe knowing that the dirt that I'm walking on could have touched Paul, or could have touched Mary, or this is where Jesus may have stood and touched this wall. Do you get that sense when you're able to travel to these different places?
Absolutely. And I'll give you one real clear example. At the top of Calvary, you can reach under the altar there and you can touch the hole where the rock, where the cross stood. And I tell my group, I said, when you go up there, I'm going to take you up. You're going to get in line 2 by 2, and I'm going to take you up under the altar. When you reach your hand and touch that rock, realize that if you had done that 2,000 years ago, your hand would come up sticky with his blood. That's just one very tactile,
yes,
palpable example. Another one I'll say is that when we went to Capernaum, we take people to all these places. In fact, we're going back December 28th. I've already got almost a whole busload of people that are going back with me for the first time in 2 years. And we're leaving on December 28th. If you want to come, please give us a call. Do it quick, though, because the bus is getting full. And one of the guys was at Capernaum, and the mass sites are site-specific. So when you go to Bethlehem, it's always the birth of Christ. The Mass is always that. Beatitudes, you always read the Beatitudes, no matter what day it is. They're site-specific. They don't follow the church calendar. At Capernaum, where Jesus said, "Eat my flesh and drink my blood," one of the pilgrims said to me, "I'm a reluctant pilgrim. I don't want to really be here. I'm only here by my wife made me come." He said, "She went fishing with me for 2 years last year, and this was my payback. I had to come with her here." So I said, "Don't worry." I said, "You think you've come to touch this land, but actually the land's going to reach up and grab you." After that Mass, we are looking at the synagogue where Jesus said, "Eat my flesh and drink my blood." And the last reading of that passage is Jesus spoke these words in that synagogue in Capernaum right there. The guy came out with tears running down his eyes, and he said, "I'm not a reluctant pilgrim anymore. I just realized where I am." Mm. This is just one of thousands of examples. I could give you.
Again, I encourage all of our listeners to go on a line, purchase the full series for yourself. Steve Ray is joining us today to give us an inside view of what it was like in making this film. Well, you promised there would be 10 episodes of the Footprints of God series, and episode 10 is now available for those who are going to purchase a copy. What are they going to get in that episode?
What we wanted to do, because there were so many adventures that we had that nobody knew about, so much footage, it was like 400 hours of footage that we had that had never been seen before, and stories. So what we wanted to do was take people back with us through the whole series, and it's behind the scenes. It adds a lot of color to the whole series. So what we did is our videographer and I, and there are four of us, Janet and him and his buddy and myself, his name is Trey and Joe, these guys. And they interviewed us and we told them the stories, and they would intersperse it with footage that nobody had seen before. For example, when we were riding the horse out of the stables to go through these narrow streets out to the pyramids to begin filming Moses, I'm riding on a black stallion around the pyramids. Well, as we're going through these narrow streets, another stallion's coming the other way, and two stallions coming at each other, they don't get along. There's an immediate rivalry, and they both went up on their back legs to kill each other in this narrow street. Well, I'm riding this other stallion, and he goes up so far that he falls over backwards while I'm on him. So I fall with him onto a pile of rocks. Everybody thought I was going to have broken bones and would never walk again. But I got right back up and jumped back on the horse. I was raised with horses, so I knew how to do that. But the point was, nobody had ever seen that adventure and known what we had done. And so that we added things like that. And when I built a fire out by the Mount Sinai, I was going to demonstrate the burning bush. I'm making it very real, right with a mountain behind me. And as soon as I lit that bush on fire, the police came from nowhere. I mean, we're out in the middle of this desert, nobody. And this white Jeep comes pulling up and they arrest me and take me to jail for burning a protected bush. And we spent the whole half a day in there dealing with that. They wanted $5,000. We wouldn't give it to them. Well, anyway, as soon as that was over, we went twice as far out in the wilderness and we got another bush to burn. And when you see the bush burn in Moses, the burning bush, you don't know the story behind how we had to get the footage. And about the morning I spent in an Egyptian jail. So we talked about all those things. And I also wanted to add a lot of new color and new content, and how people watching it don't know how it got started. I talked to you about that beginning the show, about waking up in the middle of the night. So we explain all of that. We talk about each of the shows and how we got the helicopters and a lot of the adventures, like my 8-year-old daughter wrestling the 10-foot boa constrictor to hold him in place while I'm trying to film, and the snake kept trying to get away. My daughter just straddled him and put her arms around his neck and just held that boa constrictor. But nobody knew that, but now they do.
Ah, well, we look forward to this. What an incredible series, Steve Ray. Thanks so much for being with us today. I appreciate your time. We love the series, and we are excited to see this final episode. Thanks so much for being with us today.